Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy faithfulness. Always Thou art kind and merciful. Always it is in Thy mind and heart to do us good. We thank Thee for Thy patience in continuing again and again and again to deal with us graciously. We thank Thee for it. We pray Thee now as we study Thy Word that Thy kindness and mercy may show forth unto our hearts. We will give Thee the praise and the glory. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. We come now in our study in the Gospel according to Matthew in the 19th chapter to the first 12 verses in which we have an incident in which the Pharisees came asking questions. This is going to happen as the gospel is presented in the world again and again. People are going to come and ask questions of the messenger, and these questions are not always asked in what you and I would consider good faith. Sometimes these questions are asked by people who really do not believe and do not intend to believe. They're actually opposed to what we say. But they come asking the questions because they have in mind that the questions will show the weakness of what is being said. So the questions are asked to embarrass the speakers and to expose, to show up, the essential unsoundness of the message, with the underlying idea that there's something weak and wrong in the gospel that we're preaching and teaching, and that this will appear when the question is asked. Such questions are asked not to discover information, but to uncover some weakness or some error. And so it was when these people came asking the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus emphasized the Scriptures as it is written. Now there were in those days people who had the Scriptures, especially the Pharisees, who emphasized their grasp of the Scriptures. And they felt they knew the Bible. But they had interpreted the Bible to suit their minds. And so they held the Scriptures as interpreted by them. To them there were difficulties in the Scriptures, but they had explained them away in their own fashion. They had rationalized them away. But they felt sure that no one could come to the Scriptures the way the Lord Jesus did, take them up just as they are, and be able therein to find a way of truth before God. So they came asking him, and so we read in chapter 19, verse 3, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, testing him, and saying, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Now, actually, they were not interested in the problem of divorce. They were interested in seeing what he was going to say about it, because they knew what the Bible had to say about the matter, and it isn't entirely clear. The Bible seems to say one thing at one point, another at another, and they had their own explanation of it. But here was a man who claimed that the Bible as it is written is to be taken just as it reads. And they felt sure that they would have him in trouble if he would say this. So they asked him this question. Is it lawful? Is it right according to the Scriptures for a man to put away his wife? When it says here for every cause, you can put in there for any cause. It doesn't mean that the wife has to be guilty of everything. It means if she were guilty for anything, or that the man would have every reason, but if he had any reason. So, is it lawful, is it ever right for a man to put away his wife for every cause, for any cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. You notice in the whole quotation, they're just one man and one woman and just two people, and these twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain but one. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And the Lord Jesus seems, by this manner of interpretation, to emphasize the fact that God's plan was one man, one woman, one marriage, in that fashion. Now, when he had made this statement, they say unto him in verse 7, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and put her away? Because in the writings of Moses, you will find there is instruction as to what would be right and fair, what would be equitable, if a man put away his wife, and tells under what conditions he can put her away. He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. Meaning to say, God's plan never was with the idea that the marriage relationship would be broken. But human beings, because of sin, have gotten into situations where the marriage relationship is broken. And then this would seem to indicate, according to Moses, that if the marriage relationship is broken, there still is a right way to act and a wrong way to act. There's a fair way to do and an unfair way to do. There is just conduct and unjust conduct. Now, that wasn't the original plan. It's a bit like saying this. The original plan would be that a man should have two arms. Well, now, of course, a man should have two arms, but suppose he were to lose one arm. Does that mean then he is supposed to quit living? Shall he die then? No, he can go on living with one arm, but if he goes on living with one arm, his procedure is going to have to be controlled in certain ways. And Moses gave them procedure as to how to control themselves if a person were to lose one arm or were to lose one leg, that kind of thing. He gave them guidance as to how to do if the separation took place. That wasn't in order that the separation should take place, but if it did take place, what are you going to do about it? Now the Lord Jesus goes on to say, And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. Because that was the ground that Moses would have allowed. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. That would be the ground that was actually implied in the Old Testament. And that is a bit of saying like this, because after all, so far as adultery is concerned, adultery is a case of breaking the marriage relationship in fact. And really is. And if the marriage relationship is already broken in fact, and then one can put the other away because they would only be making outward and legal what has actually already happened inwardly. Something like that. But this is the way in which he puts it. And he emphasized the fact that although there were conditions under which it would be permissible under the law for one man to put away his wife, and mind you, that means to say, sin having entered, and sin having caused harm and hurt, and sin having separated, so that sin has actually ruined the original marriage relationship, it was right and possible under the law to effectively, outwardly, to legalize, as it were, this separation. But that did not mean that it could be done for any reason whatever. There had to be an adequate reason in the sight of God for whatever was done along this line. Now in verses 10 and 11, from 10 to 12 comes in this sort of thing. His disciples say to him, when they heard him put it this way, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. In other words, if it's going to be that a man being married to a wife cannot put her away for anything save for the cause of adultery, that means he's running a big risk of tying himself up with something that may cause him much harm, or shall I say unhappiness and distress. And they intimate, be better off if this man wasn't to get married at all. And then he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. And in verse 12, he illustrates that there are some to whom this would not apply. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. I'm not sure how much I'm going to be able to make of that with you. I'm going to say this much at this point. The law is sound, it's true, it's fair, it's just, and it's eternal. That is to say, what God would require of you and of me is going to be a true, fair statement and a fair treatment of the thing. And it will apply in certain ways. But some people will not be able to apply the law as it has been set forth, will not be able to apply it that way. Because there are some people who are not involved in the marriage relationship the way other people are. And all of this would indicate that when it comes to making application of the law, you're going to have to allow for a good deal of flexibility. The law will apply in some cases, and it will seem not to apply in other cases, and the reason for that is that the people themselves are actually going to be different in one case than they are in another case. The whole matter of the relationship of husband and wife throughout the whole Bible, and especially in the New Testament as well as in the Old Testament, leaves many, many things obscure so far as the reader of the Bible is concerned and the person who is living in the world is concerned. We have such a, there's such a distance between life as it is lived by human beings and life as it was planned by God. The way God planned it, it would be one man and one woman, and these two would be together for the rest of their days. But as we have said earlier, when sin enters, the situation is different, and the difference gets to be so that many of the original ideas won't carry out. Then there will be a certain principle of justice and fairness that will prevail, and it'll prevail in the situation even after sin has entered. And altogether, the whole procedure will be one that will have to be applied according to the individual case. Some will not be able to receive it, and some will receive it, is the way in which the Lord Jesus himself put it. And in all of this, as far as you and I are concerned, we will want to have more and more from the Lord himself help in our understanding of these things. Our God and Heavenly Father, we pray thy blessing upon those whose own lives are troubled because of personal difficulties in family relations. We pray for those who have heartache and heartbreak in their family affairs. And we pray thee, Father, that they may be given encouragement to put their whole trust in thee. And do thou act in mercy and kindness toward those who are in sorrow and grief. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.